Acts chapter 9, verses 15 through 16. Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. And this is the same text that we taught on last week. But how many people know that God's word is a living word? Amen. And you can get an infinite amount of knowledge and word from one particular text. The same text, don't get scared, it's not a rerun. Amen. Acts chapter 9, verse 15 through 16 reads, "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.'" Lord, again, ask for you to bring a word, a fresh word. Please allow me not to try to imitate or duplicate what happened at 8 o'clock, although we had a great moment there. Allow me to bring a word that you have tailored for this people right here and right now in this particular moment. We thank you, Lord, for your divine wisdom. We thank you, Lord, for using an instrument even like me to bring your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Today, I want to speak to you from the subject, the significance of nobody. The significance of nobody. As you know, we've still been going through the book of Acts. Today we're going to talk about the effect of what the Lord can do with just one man. A man he chooses, a murderer. A man who had some small notoriety, but in the grand scheme of things, he was just a nobody. In some ways, he was just like most of us, some education, some influence, but nothing really special until God got a hold of him. And he used this man to turn the world upside down. Dive with me into Acts chapter 9, where we are going to meet that man, a man who murdered Jewish Christians and put fear in the hearts of the disciples because of the zeal he had to stamp them out. They still feared even after he came to Christ. He was truly a scary man. But we almost never think of him in that way because of how drastically God changed him. This cold-blooded killer's name was Saul. In chapter 9, the verses, you begin to see how, meanwhile, it says Paul was still breathing out murderous threats and getting letters from the synagogue that he may go and kill women and children that he found in the way of Damascus. But all of a sudden, there was a light that shone at him, and he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He said, "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked, and Jesus said, "I am Jesus whom you persecute. Now get up and go to a city and I'll tell you what to do." The men traveling with Saul stood speechless because they heard the sound but didn't see anybody. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called him in a vision and said, "Ananias," and he said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "I need you to go heal this man named Saul because I need to show him what I need him to do." And Ananias said, "What you talking about, God? This is the man that I heard about that's trying to kill me, and I'm one of the top 10 on his hit list. Are you sure you mean it?" He said, "Yes, get up and go." And so Ananias went, and he went and told him that he was going to be a chosen vessel, that he was supposed to take the word of God to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. "I will show him how much he will suffer in my name." So now he went, and he said he sent him, and Ananias talked to him, healed Saul, and healed Saul, and said, "Now you're going to receive the Holy Spirit." And immediately the scales fell from his eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Wow. Can you imagine this experience, what Saul experienced? Here was a hunting. He was hunting down the Jews who thought the Messiah was Jesus of Nazareth, having them in prison, stoned like Stephen, and murdered. And now he comes face to face with the risen Christ and realizes he was wrong. Not just a mistake, but dead wrong. Come on, somebody. I know you've been wrong before. Don't we hate to admit when we're wrong? But hopefully y'all ain't killed 10 people and realize you shouldn't have killed them. Saul was killing everybody, and all of a sudden, he comes face to face with Jesus, with the same man who he was imprisoning him and had stoned. And now, can you understand? He's called him out to do everything in the opposite direction. See, do you sure you would get this message? Now, you know how you want to make people know that they're wrong? You know, when they're wrong, you want to make sure they know. Now, Jesus done went the ultimate clap back. Ain't nobody clap back like that. Jesus came and blinded the man. Come on, somebody. He blinded the man, caused him not to see for 3 days. He couldn't do anything, then sent him to the person he was persecuting. See, some of you all get your Vaseline out, and some of y'all keep playing with the sound. Some of y'all get the Vaseline out, and then some of y'all want to go up here and take your little weave out and go fight folk and do all these different things. But don't you understand that God can get vengeance way better than you? Some of you all need to just sit there and wait and stop trying to fight with everybody and give God time to take vengeance for you, because God said the battle is not yours, it's his anyway. So why do you keep going to your cubicle, rolling your neck, trying to get at somebody else? Nobody can get revenge like God can. God is creative with his revenge. You saw how he did David. You saw how he did Saul. Did you see how he knocked him off his horse, caused him to be blind, then made the same people he was trying to kill be the people that had to heal him? Do you know the same folk that's coming against you are going to have to humble themselves back to you, because God going to let them know, like he let them know that when they was messing with Moses, that every time they were bit by vipers, they had to go to Moses and get healed, even though they were trying to take Moses out of his throne? The same folk in the other cubicle that keep kicking against you, if you just shut your mouth and stop trying to clap back on your own, God will get revenge for you in his own way. And can't nobody get revenge for you like God can. Some of y'all think y'all can clap back. Can't nobody clap back like Jesus. Sit down and be quiet and let God have his way. Give God some room to do his job. You ain't got to say something every time somebody talk. Even everything Saul thought he knew and believed, at least initially, in these 3 days was wrong. He had blatantly sinned against God, murdered his fellow Jews with a near reckless zeal, and was now completely blind, helpless, afraid, and mixed up on so many levels that Freud would have had a meltdown trying to analyze him. Saul was a mess. He was spiritually concussed, and he had to think about it for 3 days. Long, lonely days. I doubt that any of us did all that stuff. He was responsible for murdering innocent people. Think about it. This is like Osama bin Laden been killing all the Christians and beheading them. Then all of a sudden he has a vision from Jesus Christ, and overnight he becomes a Billy Graham to evangelize the whole Muslim world. That is crazy. How do you wrap your mind around that? And how do you treat someone like that if you're a Christian and he comes to you for help? Do you trust a murderer? And then Ananias tells him about Jesus and heals him. This is the stuff that make you have a nervous breakdown. Massive delusions that upend your world. A complete and utter breaking point to the hardest criminal. You are face to face with God, and you've been killing his loved ones with reckless abandon. He stops you, gets your attention, and then heals you for a very special mission. And how? What if that happened to you? What if God chose you to be an instrument? Crazy, huh? Really? But why not? Saul, a total nobody like you or me, who God raised up to do something significant for him, probably thought the same thing. Now consider Saul's wild experience on the road, and tell me it's still crazy to say that any of us could have been chosen. So how does God select someone insignificant like you or me? Saul, a real nobody, even a murderer. Stop trying to judge everybody, because if God can use a donkey to tell a prophet to stop going going where he's not supposed to go, God can use you. If God could talk to the man of God through a burning bush, God can use anybody. Stop looking down your nose at folk and acting like God can't use them. He used a murderer. He used whoremongers. He used a prostitute like Rahab to help the saints. He used a beggar like Ruth to have the genealogy of bringing Jesus into the world. And how dare you look down on anybody else or let anybody look down on you. God can use you no matter how insignificant you are, because that's what God does. Corinthians says he used the foolishness of the word to confine the wise. That's God's MO. Look at Moses and Daniel. They come to mind as nobody, but they were used. David was just a kid when he was used. Sister Julia, they looked at David and they said, David ain't nobody, but God told Samuel, stop crying about Saul. I ain't choosing him no more. I need you to go down to Jesse's house because I've anointed one of his sons. And he calls 3 sons and 4 sons and 5 sons and 6 and 7 sons to come before Samuel, and they didn't anoint him. And they said, we ain't got no more people. And Samuel said, no, there must be one more. Now they mad, Sister Calvin, because you know, Sister Tab, they mad because people got upset, because you know why? Because they were like, how in the world, if you didn't choose the other people, that you think David is supposed to be the king? 7 of the sons, they said, ain't nobody else here. And he said, no, it's one. He keeping the sheep, but I don't even let him in the house, because my wife, every time she look at him, she get mad because that ain't really her child. Come on, somebody. I don't know about David. In fact, I don't even know if David really my child. She just said he was. He insignificant. He just out there keeping the sheep. I got him out there away from everybody. And they rose up and anointed him and made him king. And did nobody celebrate him, Deaconess Ross? Did nobody celebrate him at all, Deaconess Roberts? Nobody celebrated. Him. They didn't look. Stop looking for people to give you accolades and hand claps and giving you some awards for what you do. Stop looking for glory from everybody else, and just know that if God chose you, who cares who comes against you? They made the prophet, anointed him to be king, and then nobody moved. Sending right back to the field. Some of us still in the field, but we called to be kings and queens. Some of us still in the field, but called to be the supervisor. Some of us still in the field, but called to be the president. Some of us still in the field, but still called to be the top person in charge. But God is training you with the sheep to make sure you understand and you don't despise small beginnings. He's training you with the sheep because he want to make sure that you understand there's nothing beneath you. He want to start you with the sheep so you can remember that when he makes you faithful over a few things, he'll make you ruler over many things. He's keeping you with the sheep to make sure he gets some character in you. He's training you with the sheep to make sure he trains you and not man. He's training you with the sheep because there's some lions and bears out there that other folk don't see. And you begin to serve him for him and not for the hand claps and accolades. Brother Tab, I got to the point, I don't care if people say amen, because some folks say amen don't even like what I'm talking about. They'll just clap just because they want to look like they in worship. But I don't care about the claps. I don't care about the nun claps. And many a football player done fell because the chili that clapped for him and just wanted his money. Ooh. They anointed David. But he didn't. They said he's just a kid. Nothing special. But he had a good heart though. Brother Williams, I can understand him choosing David because his heart was good, but he chose Saul and his heart was messed up. So what is the criteria for God choosing somebody? There is no criteria. Stop trying to act like you know why God chose somebody. See, the good thing, the one thing that me and my haters got in common, Deacon Woody, is this. Neither one of us know why in the world God called me, because I don't know why he called me either. But truth be told, I don't care. I used to care, Sister Reynolds, of why God called me, until God gave me this word right here and told me that he called a nobody because somebody always acting like they supposed to have the glory and not God. God called a nobody from South Georgia, ATL, that some of y'all call country, but I'm Southern. If anything, the country, this city country, it's small. I'm Southern. had to pause right there. The anointing left me. I got so mad. Come to the little city, they calling me country. I'm from Atlanta. But he called to nobody. And I said this at the end of the sermon, but what happened, Sister Julia, so I didn't even know. Somebody sent my resume in. I didn't even ask anyone to send my resume. They sent my resume in. I didn't even know about Newport News, didn't know about Newbies Grove. I just told God, if you want me to preach, you better do it yourself, because I'm making too much money in real estate. I'm a principal. I ain't trying to do nothing you telling me to do unless you work it out on your own. And lo and behold, I ended up here. And people, I was sitting let me take this story slow. Girl, Sister Reynolds, I'd be sitting in there, and you know, people would talk about me in my face. And you know, I wasn't quite pastoral yet. You know, I didn't know how to say, praise the Lord, even though people talking about me. I was like, knuck if you buck, you know. And they were talking about me, Brother Perez, and they were talking about how Newbies Grove called this pastor to pastor that didn't have no experience, because Newbies Grove really didn't want no pastor. They wanted somebody they could boss around. And he kept talking for like 15, 20 minutes. And it started hurting me a little bit, because I remember when y'all had my name on the wall, y'all had experience, none. Because I ain't had no pastoral experience. I'm like, well, hold on. I'm a principal. I got some type of leadership skill. They said pastoral experience, none. That's all they put down there, none. And y'all called a nobody. And some people get mad because somebody from Georgia has come into the city doing things that they have not been able to do. I'm not trying to brag or anything, but it's because I know that I'm a nobody. And I know if I get the big head and act like I can do all this by myself, and the minute I think I deserve to be here is the minute God will take me away and put somebody here to take my place, to show me he need me. So you don't need to tell me what he don't need. I know he don't need me, but I'm so glad he want me. Come on, somebody. I'm so glad God want me and don't need me. I'm so glad God chose me and don't even need to use me. Back to my story. Y'all thought I was finished. I wasn't finished. And so they were saying this young man, that they got somebody that didn't even know how to pastor. So I started getting mad, Deacon Spells. Brother Tab, I know you know this because you married to her, but I had a lot of Ann Tab in me. I didn't have that calm spirit of I was hanging on this side of the room and not on the Deacon Spells calm side of the room. So whenever somebody say something to me, huh? Say something if you want to. I'm still a principal. I ain't got that stuff off me yet. I still got remnants of mess on me. Can I talk to you for a minute? The reason why Moses was able to walk in Egypt is because he had enough Egypt dripping on him. Even though he had been delivered, they knew who he was. He could walk in the hood and walk back. Some of y'all can walk into the whole house and leave without be unstained because you done already been there before. Some of y'all can walk to the crack house and pull somebody out because you've been there before. Truth be told, your misery will become your ministry. Can I tell you something for a minute? God can't use these people who got it all together and they're so holy and never do anything wrong at all, and everything is just peaches and cream, and truly they're lying to you because they have problems just like you, but they look like they don't have any problems. And they say, how you doing? And they say, blessed and highly favored of the Lord. There's nothing wrong with me at all. But God uses broken people because broken people can be used to help other people because they don't judge anybody. Broken people have empathy and compassion for you because they to themselves know their life is messed up. And truth be told, the anointing does not fall on you, Brother Perez. It flows up out of you like rivers of living water. And if you ain't got no crack in you somewhere, the anointing can't flow out to nobody else with your stuck up self. Ooh. Let me fix my face. I was telling my preaching people to fix their face. I felt my face just go somewhere. I teach preaching class at Hampton University, and I was telling them to fix their face. And I need to fix my face. Hold on. And so there is no criteria God looks at, but he did give us a hint, Minister Sean. He said, you look at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. You look at the degrees, but I look at the heart. You look at the affiliate, the political connection, but I look at the heart. You look at the educational background, but I look at the heart. You look at the way they dress, but I look at the heart. You look at the way they walk, but I look at the heart. You look at the way the frat they in, but I look at the heart. You look at how they rank in society, but I look at the heart. You look at their economic background, but I look at the heart. You look at where they're from, but I look at the heart. That's why people can be in places that they ain't even qualified to be, because God say, I call who I want to call, and I don't call who I don't want to call. I'm sovereign, and I'll use your unqualified self. I got to preach one more time, so let me calm myself down. But back to my story. They said that he ain't really a pastor because he don't know, he ain't never been pastor before. And you gotta understand, I wasn't quite delivered, Sister Bomba. I wasn't really a real pastor then. True be told, I probably ain't a real pastor now. But I had an attitude, and he kept talking for 15 minutes, and I got to the point, I said, look, sir, I know you're my elder, but you ain't gonna keep talking about me in my face while I'm sitting right here. And then Brother Jones, y'all, Reverend Jones, y'all old pastor, Sister Briggs, he pulled me to the side. Do you know who that is? Do you know who that is? Don't say nothing, because you might not be the preacher of his church. And I was like, I don't care if I'm preaching. I didn't say in Jesus' name. I don't care who he is. I was just a principal last week snatching up students. And now you want to come to me trying to make me be dignified when somebody continually disrespect me? I say what's on my mind, and he gonna get it right now. Because you know how it is. When you really ain't all the way mad, you cool. But when somebody grab you, you get madder. But if he just wouldn't have touched me, I would have been able to handle it. But then I'm like, Jesus, who touched me? Jesus got attitude. Don't touch me now. Now I'm mad now. I'm trying to be calm, but don't touch me. But the thing about it is, Deacon Dawson, is my mouth gets me in trouble in the streets because I say what's on my mind and people get offended. But ain't it amazing how God makes your weakness your greatest strength? Because my mouth in here is anointed because I give you the unfiltered word of God. But when I in the streets, it get me in trouble. Why? Because God can take my messy mouth and make it anointed on the stage because he want me to say what thus says the Lord and not worry about you. Some of y'all used to be on the pole, but you take the pull away, you can be a good praise dancer because God will anoint your day. Y'all better hear me. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. God will take it from the whole house and make, oh, y'all don't hear me. If he used Rahab, he can use you.
Hey,
I usually in this crank, it's the one life. It's you, it's your fault. He here and it's his fault. I'm gonna blame it on him. He's like, I ain't coming back to this crazy church no more. But the thing about it is, God will take your weakness and make it your strength. Moses, ain't it funny how God hid Moses in Egypt and hid Jesus in Egypt too? But you know why he did that? Because that's the place of sin. Because what he's doing was preparing them to be great leaders, but hid them right in Satan's face. And if truth be told, the only reason Satan didn't kill them is because they was in the same mess he wanted them to be in. But if he would have realized that God was going to use Saul and change his name to Paul, change his Jew name to a Gentile name, and oh, see, y'all don't hear me. The reason why he used Saul and be named him Paul is because he was so crazy. They were like, if this joker got saved, we need to know who this Jesus is, because he was killing all them people. Now the Gentile were like, man, I know I need to get saved, because if this dude done stop killing folk and stop stabbing folk, and now he talking about peace be still, I gotta get this Jesus. Some of y'all life was so messed up and dead. That's your witness, because God has taken you up, how old school say, picked you up and turned you around and put your feet on solid ground. If there's any dignitaries in here, get to 8 o'clock because I was far more calmer than I am now. It's something about this service. I got a whole bunch of hype folk in here that all of a sudden y'all get a hold of me and I go crazy because y'all just came from the club last night. So God wanted to meet you where you are and God wanted to bring you up out of your mess. So he want me to be able to relate to you. Come on, somebody. And he'll take your mess and make it your ministry. He'll take your weakness and make it your strength. He takes my quick tongue, my smart mouth, this is the whole point. See, if you don't want to get your feelings hurt, just don't start. None won't be none. See, because if you meet me in the street, my mouth gonna hurt your feelings. But if you meet me at church, it'll heal you. I'm just saying. Just don't meet me in the streets. Just don't get smart me in my inbox because I ain't anointed unless you send it on Sunday morning. Don't send it on Monday because I'm going to clap back. Come on, somebody. Don't write on my Instagram wall and get smart with me when I'm out in the streets. Only do it when I'm in here because God takes my craziness and makes it holy here. He'll take worldly stuff and put it on the altar and sanctify it to himself and use you for, y'all don't hear me what I'm saying. Some of y'all, I'm going to leave y'all life alone. This is the thing about David. I hope 8 o'clock is tape record. I think I'm going to have to use 8 o'clock because this is one of them Newbies Grove going to love me anyway type deliveries. I put this on the broadcast. They're going to be like, we're never listening to that Negro ever again. I'm sorry. 2 Samuel 7:18-23. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. And this, see, David is so shocked that God is giving him favor that he's talking about himself in the third person. Sovereign Lord is for a mere human. What more can David say to you? For you know your servant. Basically, you know I'm messed up, God. You know I know Samson was at Delilah's house, but I'm at everybody's house. That's what David was saying. David said, I sin. I know Paul said he was the chief sinner, but you know when I was about to die, God, they put two fine women in the bed, and when I didn't touch them, they said, oh Lord, the king is dead. That's how messed up David was. Come on, somebody. You better exegete the text. It said David was so crazy that his loins burned. Come on, somebody. They saying that he done got in something. I'm just reading the text. I'm just saying. Y'all be missing it. Read it. He said his loins burned. It ain't me. It's the Bible. He was so much living the wild life that they put two women in his bed, and when that wasn't spit, that was sweat. They put two women in his bed, and he didn't touch them. They said he must be dying. Absalom went crazy, started taking over the kingdom because he knew if my daddy ain't touched neither one of them, he ain't coming back. That's how messed up David was. And David is saying, how in the world have you given me all this favor? How have you given me all this? I was just a little shepherd boy the other day, and you blessed me. Can I tell you a secret? The more God gives you, the more humble you should be if you remember where God has brought you from. Some of us didn't have nothing but one pair of shoes and one pair of slacks had to play. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. But now you got so many shoes in your closet, you don't even know what to wear. God has brought you a mighty known way. We know about David. David was a superstar in the Old Testament. He was a superstar for God. Saul went on to be as important in the New Testament, devoting and bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. This was a very big deal to the post-resurrection period because before Cornelius came to the faith in Acts chapter 10, all the first Christians were Jews. Can I bring the wasness of the text to the isness of now? How you do we say sometimes? Can I bring that for? God sent Paul, after he changed the name from Saul to the Gentiles, to bring them to Christ. Huh? Huh? Some of us have come out of some mess so God can send us back to that mess and bring people out. Yeah, y'all don't hear me. No other Jew was able to go to the Jew to go to the Gentile to sell Saul because he was on their team at first, and so he smelt like the Gentiles. He didn't like the Christians, just like the Gentiles didn't like the Christians. And all of a sudden, he changed. Can I talk to some game bangers who watch me every now and then on the broadcast? Some of y'all, when y'all get out the games, God gonna use you to deliver people from the game, because I do believe that the same way that God used David and turned his life around, the same way he used Saul and turned his life around, it's the same way he can use you. Stop acting like God could only use people in the text that was messed up. He used Jeremiah, and all he did was cry all the time. God still used him. He used Samson, even though he wouldn't leave Delilah alone, he still used him. Don't you know that the devil would have killed Samson, but he tried to humiliate Samson, and even though he had lost his vision and had his eyes poked out, when he began to pray to God and humble himself and put himself on the pillars, he pushed down the wall. Come on, somebody. Some of you all, when you just get to the point and God has you so low and you just start groping in your life, telling God, I don't care how you bless me, just bless me how you want to bless me. When you start groping and getting before God and humbling yourself and looking toward the hill from which cometh your help, God will begin to show up. Some of us not ready to be used because we ain't humble and broken enough. When God breaks us, he humbles us, he can then use us. Some of us are just too daggone good to be used. I'm not saying that you should run around here and sin, but what I'm saying is, if you're not humble, God can't use you. He says, he believes. Paul said, I don't put confidence in myself. He said, it's a what if. Can I tell you, I believe that there's some text that, because it said many other miracles Jesus did, but it didn't make it to the Bible. So I'm believing there's some hidden text in heaven. And I believe that the reason why Saul was able to do some stuff and David was able to do some stuff, because he had somebody praying for him and interceding for him. I need you to think about somebody you think that's insignificant and begin to pray for them every day for the rest of your life, not just tomorrow, but every day. And I promise you, God gonna do something with their lives because you are praying for them and interceding for them. I know good and well that's the only reason that I'm still alive, is because I had a praying mother when I was at Georgia Southern acting a fool, when people pulled guns on me and shot at my friends at point blank range and I didn't get hit, when dope dealers came to me and said they was going to kill me but didn't, there was somebody covering me because I didn't pray like I should have prayed, but I had a praying mother. I still got a praying mother and a praying father and my sisters and brothers. I know you got a lot of people on your bus, but I need you to get some intercessors on there too. And they kept praying, and all of a sudden, Saul is doing stuff that he shouldn't have been able to do. What if you pray for somebody? But you know, the amazing thing, Deacon Breeze, is God said that he can use you to bring people out of the darkness into the marvelous light. But the thing about this, Sister Claude, he can't use you to save nobody. He can use you to bring somebody into the marvelous light, but he can't use you to save nobody's soul. He can use you to sing and bring somebody in the presence of glory, but you can't give them glory. You can give them the word, but you can't make them accept the word. When you plant the seed, God waters it. So don't think that you're more. This is why I'm so humble, because I know I can't do more than God can allow me to do. And God will never let me save anybody's soul. Even when I preach, when somebody come to Christ, it was God that touched their heart, not me. Some people be like, I preached and everybody, all these people came. I killed them, Doc. I sure slayed them. Oh, Dick and Brig, you should have been there. I slayed them. You ain't do nothing. It's God that hardens the heart or softens the heart of those who hear the word of God. So what I'm trying to tell you is this: no matter how great you are praying, no matter how great you are playing, no matter how great you are preaching or teaching, no matter how great you are as a deaconess or a deacon or a trustee, no matter how great you are as a minister, no matter how great you are, you can't save nobody, because God looked over and said, I can't use Moses because he can't hardly talk. He can't even get the word out, and he stutters all the time. Now, I don't know if I can use him, but I can't use him. Hey, he tried to use Jeremiah, but he kept crying too much. Tried to use Isaiah, but he'll cuss you out so much that God had to get a hot coal and burn his lip. Tried to use Elijah, but he thought he was the only one and got the big head, acting like he was the only prophet that could do something. Tried to use Gideon, but he kept doubting all the time. Tried to use Samson, wouldn't leave the line alone. Tried to use David, he wouldn't leave nobody alone. Tried to use all these people. Then he said, you know what? You can't do it. You can't do it by yourself. So God looked around and saw nothing bigger and said, I swear by myself. He said, look here, I want to save you. I don't want you to go to hell. Walk down 40 and 2, burning generation. Enrolled himself in the flesh. Came up Emmanuel. God is with us. And if that was not enough to leave the 24 elders shocked and the angels going crazy, he put himself on the old rugged cross. Hung from the 6th to the 9th hour. They hung him on the cross. He put death to sleep. Told the devil, I know you're trying to kill me, but don't get it twisted. You can't kill me. I lay my life down. And once I lay my life down, I can pick it back up again. And when I pick it back up again, with all power in my hand, I'm going to get up and give you the same power that I got. I'm going to endow you with the paraclete. I'm going to endow you with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to give you the advocate, the helper. And that way, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I'm the author and finisher of your faith. I'm telling you right now, I gave you the Holy Ghost. And the same way I picked my own life up, when you look down and out, when you look dead, when everybody think your life is over, when they call you a nobody, I say bring that nobody right here, because I'm going to exalt myself. See, this is what it is. You keep wanting to be somebody. Can I tell you something? I know I ain't nothing but a nobody. Experience, none. If I ain't know I was one of nobody when I was interviewing, Deacon Spell in the pulpit committee let me know that. Experience, none. I was like, well, my goodness, I know I ain't getting this job. Dude, somebody, you just look at your application and you done put all this stuff you do. I'm a principal, I got a real estate company, I got all this, they put experience, none. None. Because God is using nobody. You know why he wanted to use a nobody in me? Because he knew I wasn't going to sit up here and be able to brag about what God did, because I ain't know what he did. I ain't even seen my resume in. Somebody else did. Yeah. Deacon Spells called me and be like, hey, you applied for this job? And I was like, oh, yeah? Okay, I just let him keep talking. I didn't know. I'm so glad you're a friendly guy, because I ain't know who you were. The funny thing is, I walked out because the phone didn't work in certain parts in the school. But all of a sudden, I just got up and just wanted to walk. And I walk and the phone rang right when I got to the only spot that my phone worked in that building. You called. True story. I might lie to you outside, but I ain't gonna lie right here. I'm scared to lie in the pulpit. If you want to get all the truth and nothing but the truth will help me, God, ask me why I'm up here. He called me. He ain't know me. I ain't know him. He was calling nobody. Didn't have no track record. Didn't have no bishop backing me. Didn't have nobody sending letters. Didn't have a daddy or a granddaddy that preached. He called a nobody. Why? Because he knew he could get more glory. So I used to get mad when I was about, I didn't get delivered from that conversation until right now. Well, actually at 8 o'clock. When they were acting like I ain't had no experience, and I would call somebody because y'all didn't want nobody who could pass it. Maybe you were. I don't know what you was doing. But no, I know God said, I'm going to call a nobody. And the reason why he called a nobody was because he didn't want nobody to take the glory. Because if I would have had a bishop that was backing me, they could have been able to say, I got you this job. Can't nobody say they got me nothing. Huh? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ain't no Pinocchio blessings. I'm a real man. I'm free. The only slave master I got is Jesus. I'm his bond servant. God will call nobodies because nobodies don't have a name that they need to try to build up more. They will allow God to get glory through them. And the reason why God allows New Beach Grove to do stuff because they thought we was a nobody, they thought I was a nobody, because we know ain't nothing but God doing it. We know nothing but God got us in this building. We didn't have enough money to get this building, but we put down two times less than what we was. We put down half than what most people was asking for. And the lawyer, when we went in there, was like, how in the world did you get this deal? It's because God used a nobody, because he understood that the nobody would give him glory. Because even though I had a real estate background, I knew that wasn't nowhere in heaven or the other place that I was able to put that deal together. It wasn't nothing but God. Certain banks wanted us to sell the other building before we got it and do all this. No. They said, but you'll save money. No, I won't. Because I got some folk that's still attached to that old building, even though they love me. And if we sell the building, you're going to split the church. Deacon Spell still go out there and play in the garden. And make sure I kept his guard, you know what I'm saying? And go out there and play in the garden. Because God will tell you what you need to do. The reason why that chair empty is because it's like the X variable. It don't matter that you are nobody. God got a seat waiting on you. And look at that seat. Look at it. It don't even look good. It don't even look good. It's in the middle. Let me move this out of the way so you can see. It don't even look good. It's in the middle of nowhere. Just to show you. It's in the middle of nowhere to show you that when God calls you, it don't look good all the time. But that's why you can't despise humble beginnings, because if you're faithful over a few things, he'll make you ruler over many things. You got to be faithful over a few things, though, so he can make you ruler over many things. There's a chair waiting on you. It don't look good. It look all humble. It look all messed up. It don't look like them chairs over there, them little blue chairs with the little high back looking like we royalty or something. It don't look like that. It's a little ugly, hard chair. If you ain't got no cushion, it's going to hurt. But God is your cushion. And he'll call you out of the backside of a mountain with a burning bush that won't be consumed. He'll call you keeping the sheep. He'll call you out of the hog pen. He'll call you out of nowhere. He'll call you even though nobody know your name but him. You significant. And what makes you so significant a lot of times is because you are nobody. Because God can use nobody like putty in his hands. Because truth be told, he's the potter. But some of us are stubborn pieces of clay. Because we done accomplished too much before we came to Jesus. We think we're too small, we got too much money before we came to Jesus. So sometimes it's hard for God to mold us the way he wants to. But some of us that ain't had nothing before, that comes from a chair like this, from a background like this, from a graffitied up life like this. He got down with that gravity. I don't even think he knew he did what he was doing. God is just showing you an insignificant picture. Look at that. That may be your life. But it's just a humble beginning. Saul was murdering folk. His life didn't look better than that. Saul was a murderer. A murderer. Jacob was a liar. Isaiah would cuss you out. Jeremiah was a crybaby. Gideon was a doubter. Ruth was a beggar. Job eventually became a complainer. David, we already know what David was. We know what Samson did. All these messed up people, but God still used them. and Gideon. I might preach this one day. I ain't gonna say it out loud. I'm gonna be stealing my stuff. I'm gonna say it. Keep it up. I heard just the telepathy. Dre was like, shut up. I felt him telling me that. I'll tell you when I preach it. This is an amazing thing. How y'all doing? This is an amazing thing that God does. He'll take you from the miry, messed up, muddy clay and use you. He'll take you from the messed up, muddy clay and use you. You know why he takes you out of the muddy life? The same way he took Moses out of Egypt, to make sure it's still remnants of that stuff on you so somebody can relate to you. Some people be like, ooh, I know you be high. You be smoked out when you preaching, don't you? Nah, I don't be smoked out. You smoke out and maybe the remnant's still on me. But how you get that deep stuff, man? You got to be smoking. Maybe it's still the residue. I don't know. Nah, I just play. I tell him it's Jesus Christ. And Jesus will make you relate to folk. And you'll be able to pull people that I can't pull. I don't know what your background is, but you'll be able to pull people I can't pull. You can pull people I can't pull. You can pull people. Everybody pulls whatever background that they come from. You know why the NBA always have great seasons? You know why the NBA owners always get the players they want? Because they use players to recruit players. They don't go talk to them. In fact, the rule is you can't talk to him. Magic Johnson, a guy, he wanted to play no more and got fined. Sheep supposed to go get sheep. And you need to go get the sheep from some of the areas you used to be around that you knew you had no business at. And go pull them out of the darkness into the marvelous light.